to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner, it's just me, Aneke, coming to you through the microphone. Yeah, so we got my special guest appearance on Judge John Hodgman. It was an awesome night in San Francisco. I'm going to be giving you guys a little intro, a little behind the scenes, and then we'll jump right into my guest appearance. It was pretty awesome. So this is a cool Maximum Fun crossover episode for you guys to enjoy. And without further ado, let's just get into the episode. Hey guys, it's me, Aneke, just coming in, talking to you a little bit before we jump into my guest appearance on Judge John Hodgman. What an honor. It was, man, I just feel so lucky that I was even asked to be on the show, let alone a live show in the historic Castro Theater. But before we get into that, let me just talk to you for a little bit. Yeah, James is out cavorting in Europe right now. I believe he's either in Amsterdam or Spain, España, somewhere. He's having the time of his life. I swear to God, whenever I go on Instagram, every person that is hip to dip is at the Amsterdam Pride and at that milkshake festival. What the fuck is that? I mean, it looks cool, but I guess I just have to enjoy it vicariously through Instagram, which is the plight that I bear nowadays. But it's fine. I'm enjoying myself. Little baby's keeping me occupied, having a good time with her. Walked around Lake Merritt, passed by where Barbecue Becky was calling the police on black folks. Didn't get called on me. Thank you very much. But I did see some cool signs that were up posted around the lake. I don't know who did it, but it's basically a warning to, not a warning, but like a guide to gentrifiers who are coming and moving into Oakland. And I guess you can adapt this to any place where gentrification is taking off. But it's one of those where it's like, respect where you're moving into. Shop local, understand that you are taken away from the culture by coming in, but by doing so, give back, really contribute to where you're living now. And I really enjoyed that. I mean, some people might say it feels a little like accusatory or whatever, but it's good to understand where you're coming in at. It's good to understand what land you're stepping onto and how you're changing it, and just by being there affects the trajectory of where that city is going. I mean, just think about all the ships that came sailing over without even knowing. I mean, obviously, there's the plundering of the land and killing of the people, but they brought seeds of invasive plants. They brought animals that would kill other animals. So even just merely by being in a space, you are changing it. So how are you going to combat that change? By giving back. I always say shop local. If you can go to a local shop instead of going a big box, I do it. If you got those ducats in your pocket and you can afford to spend a little extra money just to get back to the town that you're living in, why not, right? And it feels good and you might meet some people. I'm a hermit. I don't like meeting people, but when I do, it usually does feel good. You know, it usually does feel like, oh, I'm a person in the world. I'm contributing. So I just kind of wanted to touch on that because it was kind of one of those feel-good moments that I got in a time when things aren't so feel-good right now. Heart goes out to El Paso. Heart goes out to Ohio, you know. Heart goes out to Gilroy, which is right around the corner from here in the Bay Area where I'm located, which is wild because I've been hearing about the Gilroy Garlic Festival ever since I was little. The last thing that it was known for to me was having garlic ice cream, which is disgusting. I wish that it still was only known for having garlic ice cream instead of being a place where there was a active shooter. Craziness. Like, there needs to be something. Game plan of action, you know, legislation, something. Anyways, I'm going on my own tangent. See, I could do it all by myself, James. Don't need you. So what we're about to get into is my guest spot on Judge John Hodgman. For those of you listeners, and I doubt there's, you know, we're Maximum Fun, and that is like one of the temples of Maximum Fun, is Judge John Hodgman. It's a show where people take their cases to the Honorable John Hodgman, and they decide who wins. I was lucky enough to be called up on stage to help give some input on some of the cases that were brought to trial. I was up on stage at the Castro Theater, once again, super historic. If James was here, he would talk about how he's performed on the Castro Theater with some of the drag queens that he mentioned in that last piece. I believe that was last week's episode of Powerful Drag Queens. But I haven't been up on that stage. This was one time for the books for little old Neke. So that was kind of exciting. It's a big theater. It's gigantic. It's historic. It's beautiful. If you ever get a chance to go to the Castro Theater, I highly recommend it. I was up there with Jesse Thorne, who is, you know, our dear leader at Maximum Fun, who is serving as bailiff. And John Hodgman, incredible, nice, wonderful comedian, actor, involved in everything. So I believe he has a book coming out soon, so you might want to look into that. I believe it's called Vacation Land. Well, he already has a book called Vacation Land that's out now, so I wonder if this is Vacation Land 2, or correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm excited to read it nonetheless. I was super pregnant. I was like prego, pregtini, pregalicious, pregolino. Like, you know how Ali Wong did her past two comedy specials pregnant? I was like twice the size of Ali Wong, just rolling my big ass up onto stage, you know, oompa looping it up like Violet. You're getting more Violet. But I managed to roll myself up there, managed to roll myself onto a chair and to give some input for some of these cases, which is hilarious, super fun. I wonder if we got some more listeners from my time on that show. If you are someone who went to that show and decided to listen to Minority Corner because of my guest appearance, thank you. How exciting. If it's just one of you, you know what? I'll take it. I love you. Thank you. This is so awesome. It was an awesome night, winter, so I had a big old coat on, walked myself home, and would you believe I tripped and fell? Tripped and fell on the concrete. It was so scary. I was terrified. But thankfully, I mean, baby turned out fine. Talked to my doctor. She said that's why they have that fluid surrounding them, so all baby did was just bounce around in there. So for those of you people that are prego out there, if you fall down, hopefully, you know, you should be all right. There's a lot of leeway, thankfully. Also, thank you. I'm glad I'm not pregnant. Got it out of that. Wonderful again. So I won't continue to babble in your earlobes, ear holes. Let's just get to the show. I hope you guys enjoy. I'll catch you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Viv.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bev Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent. I don't know how to fix mornings for myself. I do not know how to make mornings okay for myself.
So the t-shirt, I don't do mornings, isn't even a funny shirt. I shouldn't get it for you.
It's sad.
It's a sad shirt.
Yeah, it's a sad shirt with tears flowing.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bailiff Jesse Thorne, that was some justice that we meted out. But there's still some injustice left that we're going to have to mete out swiftly now. And to do it, I believe we have a friend of the court with us here this evening.
Absolutely. She's a San Franciscan and half of the team behind the Maximum Fun podcast Minority Corner. San Francisco, please put your hands together for Aneke Fitzclark.
Let the record show for those listening at home that Aneke danced across the stage and is extremely and beautifully pregnant.
Yeah, this whole thing is our attempt to recreate the viral magic of that time that Amy Poehler rapped on Saturday Night Live.
Welcome. Thank you for being here, especially since you are going to have a child soon.
Oh, no, I'm happy to be here. Can I take this out?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I'm Ali Wong in it.
So, Aneke, you are the co-host of Minority Corner
on
MaximumFun.org.
Yes.
And tell us all what your podcast is all about.
Well, we are black, queer, and ladylike.
Fantastic.
Like Blue's Clues. Who listens? Anybody listens? Okay. Smattering. Y'all need more black friends, so listen to us. That's what we're here for.
And you talk about what?
Politics, pop culture, butts, you know.
The big three.
Three great topics. And do you have any mythos that I need to know about before we go on? Because I'm tired of being taken by surprise.
I almost wore my sash.
Well, okay.
You know, I do like an oil slick hairdo. And I preference butts.
All right. Well, I hope you will lend some expertise as we hear these cases. We're going to put a timer, 15 minutes on the clock, to hear three cases in quick succession in a segment we call Swift Justice.
Cool.
And Jesse Thorne, when you're ready, call the first litigants.
The clock is ready. Please welcome Alicia and Mason.
So, Alicia, you bring this case against Mason, and your relationship to Mason is what?
He is my partner and cohabitant.
Ah, very good.
Specific.
I don't care if people get married anymore, by the way. I've grown with the times. Do whatever the hell you want. have fun splitting the bills. Now, what is your dispute with Mason?
So last September, I wanted to put a box of his stuff that's been sitting out in our public space into storage.
Yes.
He resisted.
I see.
Now, we...
Physically? He held on to it? He chained himself to it?
It was kind of like a ball and chain scenario where he dragged it around the house with him.
All right. What was in the box?
It was fitness equipment.
Sashes. Sashes, fezzes, regalia.
And a squid hat.
I don't want to hear about weird hats anymore. Fitness equipment. Mm-hmm.
John, if you didn't want to hear about weird hats, why did you come to San Francisco?
Good point. And Mason resisted. And then what?
Then we talked like functioning adults.
Great. And then something obviously broke in your relationship because here you are.
It's teetering.
Well, like a lot of people in this city, we are struggling with storage space.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if everyone has been into the same Netflix shows that I have been, but...
Look, you're talking about tidying up with Marie Kondo. I think it's pretty clear that we were talking about Marie Kondo on the Judge Sean Hodgman podcast 35 years ago. And I do not understand why I have not been invited on that show. To fold some clothes and spark some joy. But it's fine. Good for her. Obviously, this box of janky fitness equipment no longer sparks joy for you, Alicia. And Mason wants to keep it around and display it in the living room.
Well, when we talked, he chose to bring up the fact that I bring in most of the stuff.
But you bring him most of the fitness equipment.
Most of the things that take up extra space in the apartment, other than storage space.
So you countered by saying, well, you also have a lot of junk.
Exactly.
Why are you talking about my junk? Mm-hmm. Let me deflect with a completely fallacious logical argument by pointing out that there might be some things that you need to tidy up as well.
It was a little spiteful, I admit.
All right. Well admitted.
John, my Latin's a little rusty, but I believe it's the fallacy of I'm the rubber, you're the glue.
And so where does this dispute stand now?
So I would like you to order him to join me in my seasonal clear outs and evaluations mm-hmm. of our general stuff, which he does not do, and I do very regularly.
I see. Is that true, Mason?
I would also say that I don't buy a lot of things. I don't bring a lot of things into the apartment.
And you, this fitness equipment, are you using it or not?
I'm not, and I...
Okay, very good. Now,
no, that's... There's more. There's more. Please, I beg of you.
In that case, do you have any questions for the litigants or any observations that you would like to make?
Do you have $10 per month to spare?
Sure.
Planet Fitness is excellent. And then, you know, you can always just pay the money, and that's kind of like...
So I have, in conversation, as she was saying... I didn't say no to putting the box away. It just kind of sparked a larger conversation about something that has bothered me, and that's kind of a countersuit, which wow. is that...
wow.
Which, if you
all
would
right,
permit
I'll, me... All will, right, I will allow you to move these goalposts.
So, I feel conflicted about it a tiny bit. I admit it's not an enormous amount, but a tiny bit, because Alicia both loves thrifting... and is really good at it. She is like, it's incredible. She will go a whole day, and no matter how many hours she's been going, she will spot that amazing little thing.
Right.
She goes thrifting every couple weeks, generally, I would say on average. She does not come home with at least two bags of things. And I would say that her request that I join her in the seasonal cleaning kind of highlights my frustrations a little bit, because buy seasonal cleanings means every 1.5 months, which means that things are building up. And so...
Wait. If you're cleaning out every 1.5 months, mm-hmm. wouldn't things not be building up? That would seem like if you're going thrifting mm-hmm. every week and coming home with two bags of stuff, but then you're cleaning out every 6 weeks, that's a pretty good churn of influx to outflux, right?
But you also...
Let the record show that Alicia is nodding with a proud look on her face.
The frustrating piece is that we have very limited surface space to do anything, very limited counter space, table spot space, and that space is taken up. So she clears out. 2 weeks later, she's thrifting. Now there's 4 weeks of things sitting around taking up space, which gives... It's the ambiguity that gives me anxiety, that I have to be shuffling around. That feeling of anxiety of, you know, it's not totally an open space for me to use.
Is your place a rat nest of junk?
No, I don't want to make it sound like it's a catastrophe. It's more like we both really love our apartment, and we've designed it in a way that I think we both really like. It's just that things start building up in the corner. And for me, it starts feeling a little oppressive when the piles build up.
I think what I realize now is that mm-hmm. you guys are candidates for a new project that I'm working on. it's called the day-to-day sorcery of spiffing it up. It's my idea. I come over to your house and I put on my sash and I speak a secret language to your house, and then I sit and I offer it gratitude, and then I touch everything you own. And then I go home and leave it up to you. Alicia and Eneke, do you, anything you want to investigate further here? I don't want to...
I just feel like the box of junk kind of... Where did that go?
I know, right? We started on something... These are weird journeys we're going on.
Yeah, I know! What's the tangent? I mean... Is it the box of junk, or is it deeper?
What I think we have to evaluate here is exactly that question, right?
Yes.
Because I kind of feel like what I'm getting is, this dude's got a box of dumbbells that he doesn't ever work out with.
Medicine ball.
A speed bag, yes. Maybe. Yeah.
Body jiggler.
Like this. Like a 19th century John Harvey Kelly.
Yeah.
John Harvey Kellogg, a relation of mine. Also, those does he have those squeezies? Those
like
things you use to strengthen your wrists?
Like the NASCAR crew things that make your hands stronger?
What is the equipment that you have? Like quick inventory. If you don't remember it, you don't want it.
They are dumbbells and a
shake weight.
Well, is buzz marketing allowed? I don't remember if that's...
Yeah, I don't care about anything
and
anymore. Just go.
And a TRX.
Tiaras?
A TRX.
Oh, a TRX.
Isn't that just a DVD?
There's something weird about those microphones. Anytime someone says anything into them, I think they're talking about strange hats now. So it could be this box of junk.
Yeah.
Right? That's the issue here. And my feeling is that Mason is throwing up all this other emotional stuff as a smokescreen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Protecting those dumbbells, man.
It was the source of the resistance. And once we started talking, I became more comfortable with the idea of getting rid of the box, but the larger issue was my frustration with the rest of it.
Well, how do you feel, Alicia? Do you is there any credence to Mason's argument? Do you feel like you could do maybe some more churn?
I could.
Okay.
But
that shows a certain amount of self-knowledge and reflection that Mason is obviously incapable of. I'm glad that you didn't turn it on him and accuse him of something else. What do you bring home from the thrift store? What kind of stuff? What's your thing? What are your collections?
I enjoy home decor.
Sure.
Okay.
So I like little ceramics that can hold things. I like...
Someone out there is groaning.
Yeah. I'm getting a real tchotchke vibe going on with...
Yeah. Are they
you know what? I love
tchotchkes?
A tchotchke.
Lots of tchotchkes.
Is there a period or a style of tchotchke that you're interested in?
I like things that speak to me.
Oh.
Are you going to tell me that you're hearing voices? That these little ceramic capybaras are giving you orders?
Everything she brings home is fantastic. Beautiful silver platters, some really nice, the little pots, what do you call them? I'm terrible, I can't.
Shot glasses?
No, that you would like bake a lava cake in.
Like a French onion soup bowl?
Lava cake? That's specific.
No, well, it's the size and shape. Ramekin.
Ramekins.
Thank you. She brought home four.
Whoa. Alicia, you bringing home ramekins?
Ramekins for
$10? I believe in anything that electrifies you with happiness.
John, who among us is not electrified with happiness by dipping sauces?
She brings home ramekins that she found that she got for $10. That new cost like $70.
But, you know,
$80.
Like ramekins are junk. Ramekins. Ramekins are what happens when bowls shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not something, a decorative
I
item
agree.
You put
I
on
mean,
a thing.
Unless you put like an air plant in there or something.
Right.
What's going on in this house?
I guess your ranch dressing's running all over your plate.
Well, I'm not saying you don't need ramekins in your life. I'm just saying that, look, everyone likes what they like, but I have never seen a carefully curated collection of ramekins that made me feel like that is a good use of shelf space. I could be wrong. We'll find out when Hulu and I come over to change your life. But for now, I'm going to say this. That box of fitness junk is going on the street unless you find a place to put it that is not in a shared public space right away. And then you guys are going to do a thorough man-hajo treatment. And you're going to throw everything into the middle of your apartment and you're going to touch it and it's like, am I electrified with happiness? Yes? No. And you're going to give me $10,000. This is the sound of a gavel.
Thank you, Alicia and Mason. Please welcome Christina and Tyler.
Christina and Tyler, who comes before me seeking justice today? Which one of you is initiating this case?
I am.
Christina, what is the nature of your dispute?
Okay, so we have a dog named Boone, and Boone looks like kind of a Muppet mix,
mm-hmm.
But she's actually a particular...
Which Muppets?
Animal.
Ooh. Animal mixed with whom? Zoot? Okay.
But she's actually a particular breed with kind of a long name.
What is the name of the breed?
Wire-haired pointing Griffon.
Oh, gasps.
That's appropriate.
I know.
Wire-haired pointy Gryffindor capybara champion the third.
Bandersnatch.
Okay. And what's the, so
you have Frabjous Day, Kalu Calais.
I understand that there are a lot of people. I'm a cat person because I like being despised. I understand that dog people will naturally always want to get on stage and say, I have this dog and here is its name. But there is a dispute here of some kind?
Yes, Your Honor. So when we take her out, people often ask us what kind of dog she is because she, there's some evidence to see, but she's kind of...
We're going
to
take a look at that in a moment. Don't...
She's very cute. She has human eyes.
That's right, yes.
What is her name again?
Boone.
Boone. Let the record show that Jesse Thorne is now waving at the picture.
I love it!
Can we bring down the side lights for a minute so we don't get the wash in the picture so we can really see her?
This is her.
Very adorable.
This is her as a puppy.
Deep, penetrating human eyes.
This is her as a puppy?
Yeah.
Let the record show that Bailiff Jesse Thorne is now nuzzling the screen. Do you have another photograph? This is her as a puppy. Now let's see her.
Yeah, there should be one more of her.
All right, let's take a look. Oh. And there she is in her yarn, Boonville Yard. I noticed that you've allowed her to become naturally gray. Keep Somalia away from her. I try to douse her in purple oil slick or whatever. Okay, so I can see why Boone attracts so much attention and people say, hey, that's an amazing looking dog. What kind of dog is it? And what do you say? Wire hair, super dupe, whatever it is?
Well, the dispute is that I always make the effort to say the full breed name.
Say it again.
Wire-haired pointing Griffon.
Yeah, great.
And because
that's what she is.
Because that's what she is.
Right.
And because I think that people are genuinely interested and they might want to get one. And if I were to say to my friend, like, what kind of car is that? I like your car. What kind of car is that? And they were like, it's a sedan. That wouldn't be very helpful. So
I take it that Tyler would prefer not to say the full breed
right,
name.
Correct, yes.
Because he doesn't want to seem like some weird snob.
I'm not sure what his poor reasoning is, but he tends to say she's a pointer or a griff, which is not obviously a sufficient amount of information.
He never says that she's a sedan, does he?
No, Your Honor.
All right. What is your point of view, Tyler?
So I find that when people ask that question, I think maybe 8 times out of 10, it's often just kind of small talk.
Yeah.
And I find that if I use the full, lengthy, kind of pretentious breed name, it not only invites a lot of follow-up, but almost requires it. Because, I mean... So, another name for the breed is Korthals Griffon, which is, like, even more...
What?!
Yeah. So
Korthals?
Yeah, it's the
spell
the
it.
K.
Well, you have to spell John. It. Convince me you're not making this up.
K O R.
Everyone's gaslighting me tonight.
spell it.
Well,
don't think about it. Spell it, or else you're making it up.
Well, I think you're
Carthals. How dare you?
Your reaction kind of proves my point, which is like it's. It's a very unique and kind of bizarre name, and
you have not spelled it for me, Tyler.
It's K-O-R-T-H-A-L-S.
And that K, talk to these people. I don't even know.
That K was a twist.
Yeah.
As a proud dog owner of Zelda,
she's so smug about her dog. Yeah, Zelda, maybe you've heard of her.
She's, you know, Instagram famous, not really, no. She is a weird breed. She's a pit Rottweiler, but she's really cute. I never say her breed because being an Oakland person, it makes me extremely Oakland, so I get it. Mm-hmm. So I usually just say she's, you know, she's fun when someone asks. So, what's my question? Do you take her to dog parks often?
Yes. We're also in Oakland, so we take her out a lot, and we sometimes take her to Griftgathers.
Oakland was a good... I'm glad you said Oakland, because I don't know how many people would tolerate that. What part of Oakland?
Yeah,
are you
I kind
of
feel
Piedmont?
Like...
Are you in East Oakland?
I kind of feel like this is a tale of two Oaklands.
I know.
Well, we also live in Oakland, where we have Griftgathers.
Yeah, this is also kind of my point. Like, we live in a place where it feels even more pretentious than I think it would in other places. So I.
We did get made fun of that one time.
Yeah.
What? Say that again.
Well, one time I told someone at a dog park when she was the puppy picture age that she was a wire-haired pointing griffon, and then he said
also
that...
Also known as a Corthal's Mines of Moria, Upjohn, go on.
And this guy, like, said that we were fancy, but, like, not in a nice way, like, you know?
Yeah. In an Oakland way.
I hate to break it to you.
Well, she's like a discount.
You are
doodle,
nice,
though.
But you are fancy. You are fancy pantsy. Is that why you don't want to say the name of the breed, Tyler? You're out here going like, well, I don't think people really are interested because, and I'm like, well, he is a man. He does know what other people are thinking all the time. Or maybe there's an internal reason you don't want to say it.
Yeah, that's at least half of it.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're gentrifying.
Ooh.
I'm not saying this to be accusatory. I live in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I'm part of the problem.
John, I'm born and raised in the Mission if you need somebody to be accusatory about it.
You feel a little self-conscious? Yes?
Yes.
No, yes. Okay, right. Here's the thing. You have a fancy-pantsy dog, which is adorable. She's wonderful. And you have chosen to have a pure breed, and you need to own that. Own your truth. If you're hiding what the breed is because you don't want to say the whole thing, you know, if you just want to save some time, or it's a mouthful, I agree. But you should own your truth. And if your truth is you have this beautiful, wonderful, naturally gray-haired dog that has this long breed name, then just look people in the eye and say, this is my... What is it again?
Well, the thing is,
and if they and let them decide,
right,
if they want to ask you follow-up questions, and if they do, it's probably because they're curious, and it will spark conversation. And people say, you know, these guys are nice fancy pantses, because you are.
Well, to flesh out the record a little bit, I don't just say she's a dog and walk away, like.
I know.
I'll say, oh, she's a griff, or I'll say she's a pointer.
Yeah. Well, here's what you don't. This is where I'm. Don't just say she's a griff. No one knows what that is. No one knows what that is. That's not like saying, this car is a sedan. That's like I'm trying to think of some obscure sailing term. You know what I mean? It's like what kind of, oh, that's a very interesting boat. What kind of that? Oh, you know, it's a 12 and a half haven. You know what I'm talking about, right? No, just say, you know, Joel White, the son of E.B. White, decided not to become a writer, but can become a boat builder. And he designed wooden boats, basically rescued the wooden boat industry from obscurity, and in part by modeling a new boat based on the old Herreshoff design, of which there are only 307 made. Classic 12 and a half foot sailing boat. And they call it the Haven. And the beauty of it is it's a teaching boat and anyone can learn to sail it. And really, more people should. Would you like to ride in my boat?
And so you guys are fancy. This is how we got our reputation as salt of the earth.
I'm just saying, I'm fancy. I know I'm fancy, right? But when you use a term like griff, you're essentially using a code that is exclusive. When you just simply say, this is my dog, it's a fancy dog, I chose to have a pure breed for reasons of my own, rather than have a rescue dog, even though they need help. I'm not here to shame you. I'm just saying we make choices, and sometimes the choices are going to make the mob angry. But we only have one go-round, and Boone is your dog, and she's beautiful, and she happens to be the breed that I'm never going to know what it is. And you just own it and just say, this is what it is. This is the way we are. And let people know you. You know, don't hide it. Don't hide it, because that's more insulting, I think. And so I find in Christina's favor, I find in Boone's favor, Tyler, you're nice. make a donation to an animal shelter, and have a great time with your dog.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you. And Tyler. Let's welcome Anne Marie and Patrick.
Anyone, I mean, the beauty of the 12 and a half Herreshoff in the Haven is anyone can sail, and it's beautiful. It should be open to more. It should be open to more people. Do you want to come on my boat?
Sure.
I don't own one of these boats. Are you kidding me? That's really expensive.
We can find one.
Yeah, no.
The marina.
I'm sorry, who's here now? What new surprises are here for me?
Well,
what is who brings this case before this court?
I do.
And you are Anne Marie?
I am Anne Marie.
Yes.
And I'm bringing my husband.
Yes.
And I knew that he was the one when, during our second date, he took me to a karaoke bar, which is amazing.
Cute.
So, tip. But since then, our favorite pastimes have always been just belting out songs. So, I have to read this. When we first started dating,
put the notes away. Put the notes. You gotta be in the moment
when
here.
When we first started,
you think
living
I have
together,
notes? Yes. do you think I look at them? No. I get distracted. Okay, karaoke.
Yes. So when we first started living together, we were living in our tiny little apartment in the Tenderloin, and we would sit on our bed and we would YouTube karaoke songs, and then until now, we also sing in our car with our two-year-old son, trying to get your.
Oh, I'm a terrible singer.
On my side. Oh, anyways.
She's appealing to your maternal instincts, I think.
It hasn't kicked in.
No. Okay. I love the portrait of your courtship. Your deepening relationship, your relationship with song.
Very sweet.
You have a child now. I feel like I'm. I feel like this is the. I'm watching the pre-credit scene to Up here. I'm getting a whole picture.
Yes. So where does it go wrong? Him, but every time that we're singing a song, we belt out, we go all out, we're dancing, and at the pivotal moment, and we mainly listen to 90s songs, so I don't know if it's current songs.
Here 90s comes.
Songs let's, we
let's,
have.
Okay. Yeah. Every time we're singing a song.
Yes, we're singing a song. Just, we get to a key change, and it's like the best part of a song, and my husband goes, key change. Like, why?
You know what? I apologize to you. That was masterful.
Yeah.
You set a stage.
I think you might have
engaged in the art of storytelling misdirection. You're the greatest storyteller in the United States today.
Yeah, I'm like 75% sure you just won a Moth Story Slam.
All right. And that's the dispute? You don't want him to say those words anymore?
He's basically ruined songs for me, but yes. Yes.
Specific songs or songs as a topic?
Many songs. I can name them.
Okay.
Any Whitney Houston song.
Right.
They all have key change. There's Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. You get to the point, you're like, key change.
Yeah. You
can't do it.
Sorry, I don't know that song. You're gonna have to, you're gonna have to sing it for me.
Living on a prayer.
Now wait a minute. Do the, get to the point where he does the thing.
Yeah, you're halfway there.
Yes. I know.
Just bombs going off.
Yeah. John, I know a couple white people things too, my friend.
Let the record show that the roof of the Castro Theater just blew off into space. And it was on fire. Can you do the key change from Living on a Prayer by John Bon Jovi?
You're the one from New Jersey.
What? I'm sorry?
Can you do... Can no, one of you sing the key change portion of the song?
No,
yes
no,
or no?
That's why I say key change. Because I can't actually sing it.
Oh, living on a prayer.
Living on a prayer.
Living on a prayer.
That was beautiful.
That's actually, technically, that's. What you did was not a key change.
No, no.
Maybe that's the
falsetto.
Point. Do you think you can stop yourself from saying these words to make your wife happy?
I mean, maybe make a mental note. I don't know if that'll bring as much joy in my life.
Why do you like saying it so much?
It brings me joy. I don't know why.
No, you're supposed to say, it electrifies me with happiness. Cut it out 50% of the time. I find in Anne-Marie's favor. All right.
Thank you, Anne-Marie and Patrick. And, of course, our thanks to NK Fitzclark from Minority Corner for helping bring some swift justice to the Castro Theater. And Junior Fitzclark for their contributions.
One, two, one, two, three. Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors, and...
Nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor, and I'm a medical enthusiast, and we create Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week, I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately, we do a lot of modern fake medicine, because everything's a disaster. But it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday... right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
Did you guys enjoy it? I enjoyed it. It was super fun. It was good to revisit again. Once again, big, giant thank you to Jesse Thorne, to John Hodgman, to producer Jennifer, who got me onto the show. It was quite an experience. I really enjoyed it. One for the books, y'all. I would also like to send a big old thank you to Woody, editing, keeping this ship together afloat in the waters. Big thank you to Brownout for our musical jams. Really appreciate that. Thank you to James, Miss James. But you know what? He's having fun right now. He's not missing me. That's for damn sure. Can't wait to hear about his travels when he comes back. And thanks to you guys, our listeners who have stuck with us, the new listeners, the medium listeners, all you guys who are just dabbling, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K. We're also on Facebook, Minority Corner, my Corner Kids Playground. People are still posting in that. If you want to email us any questions, Minority Corner, corner spelled with a K, at gmail.com. And we'll try to get to you as soon as possible. I believe we're taking a break after this episode. Just 1 week break, 1 week off. You might want to check out some of our summer recommendations. James gave his recommendations, and then I gave my recommendations. So you might want to rewind, check those two episodes out, listen to some of the podcasts that we pumped up. And then we'll be back with more funnies, more entertainment. I'm going back to work, so I'm going to have a lot more interesting things to talk about. And I got a couple guest appearances coming up in the books as well. So keep your ear holes peeled for that. And have a good weekend and week. Bye, guys.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.